Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
As it is over in Utah, the Utah Jazz take a 2-0 lead over the Clippers. They win it 117-111. Donovan Mitchell with 37 points on the night, most of his damage done before halftime. And clearly, look, they got what they needed from everybody else. Rudy Gobert, 13-20. Jordan Clarkson, Laker fans are going, ooh, Jordan Clarkson, 24 off the bench in 27 minutes. He made 6 threes, part of the big reason why the Jazz are out to this 2-0 lead. Paul George had 27 and 10 rebounds and 6 assists. Kawhi had 21 and 5 assists. Reggie Jackson had 29. The Jazz just had too much for the Clippers tonight. And I did not pick the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals, by the way. I did not pick the Clippers. I did pick the Bucks, which we'll get into, but I did not pick the Clippers right now. There was a time during the first half when the Clippers had the lead where I did pick the Clippers to go to the finals, but right now I did not pick the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals. That is not a pick you heard on this show.
Well, it depends which timeline you're in. We do have the police. That is the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. What is it? The Time Variance Authority, the TVA, that keeps us on one stream. So you will hear all of that compressed together. So you will hear that Clippers pick and the self-congratulatory work of Jason Smith if you go and download it. And if you do, and give it 5 stars, we'll love you forever. And you can mock Jason at How About a Fresca.
There's not a lot of mocking.
Hey, look, the Clippers have been here before. I mean, they are veterans at the we're down 2-0. We have long scoring droughts and a lot of confusion. But it was a fight. It was a good game. Whereas the early game, a bit sloppy, but a good finish. This was, I believe, everybody left satisfied. You were not Malkovich in Rounders with this one.
Okay, I'm with you. Now I'm just picturing, you know, Tyronn Lue now in the post-game press conferences licking an Oreo waiting for the next question.
I think it would be great theater. Come on, let's embrace it.
He's just licking the next question.
Become part of pop culture by celebrating pop culture. Let's go.
But here's the thing, is that this is another night, and I tell you, when I say Donovan Mitchell is the closest thing the NBA has to Kobe Bryant, this is what I mean. Yes, 37 points, most of it in the first
37.
Half. 37. Shut up. But this is not Donovan Mitchell. His game is the same as Kobe Bryant. It's more the mentality and what he does when the Jazz need him to do his thing. Because right now, Devin Booker. Yeah, Devin Booker scores a lot of points. He does. You know what? A lot of people in the NBA score points. Devin Booker is terrific. He takes a lot of shots. So people think, okay, well, he takes shots. Kobe took a lot of shots. Allen Iverson took a lot of shots, too. Yes, he takes a lot of shots. I have seen Donovan Mitchell play really well and like this in the playoffs. Again, he has played like this in the playoffs before. But what about, I don't understand, it's really Devin Booker. I have seen this from Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs. And this is why I say he's the closest guy to that Mamba mentality. It's a different game, but it's still about taking over at the right times and knowing when this is what the team needs. The team needs me to be able to distribute a bit here. This is where the team needs me to hit some threes. He can do whatever the team needs. Yes, is he a bit of a volume shooter? Sure. Shot 29 times tonight, but you know what? He made 15. He was terrific tonight. He's the reason why the Jazz got out, why the Clippers were never able to overtake them. And when you get 24 off the bench, albeit the only 24 points off the bench by the Utah Jazz or by Jordan Clarkson, that's enough. Mitchell's doing it. He's getting it from his supporting cast, and everybody's been sleeping on the Jazz. You know, we told you how good they are, and because people don't watch the Jazz that often because it's the Jazz, they're on late. Mitchell was hurt the last couple of months. No, Jazz are for real, man, and right now it looks like the Jazz and the Suns are on a collision course for the Western Conference Finals.
Got to give some credit. I mean, obviously, the huge game from Reggie Jackson kept the Clippers in it. But to your point about the Jazz, Joe Ingles coming up with big shot after big shot. Mitchell, look, you're going to talk nicely about him. People are going to get mad. Anytime you invoke the name of Kobe Bryant, you get people incensed. And then, look, everybody's territorial. Everybody wants to support their guy. Why aren't you talking about my guy enough? You know what? He played yesterday. We talked about him. Jason, unfortunately, wasn't here. If you followed him around town, maybe you heard a monologue about how much he loves Devin Booker. I don't know. In between bites of cheese. Giant wheel of cheese. Why? Because it's the summer of Smith. But when you get this balance, and Jordan Clarkson, right? He's your sixth man of the year. And he did exactly that. 9 of 15 from the field, 6 of 9 from three-point range to give you the difference. And we look at what the Clippers are, and it's a nice battle, right? Second straight, great battle. Hey, they lost two games by 9 points. They're still losses, right? You look for silver linings. In this game, they got better production from Reggie Jackson. How much more can he do? Kawhi Leonard was 8 of 17 from the field. It's a pretty good game, but he was minus 8. Are we going to start going deep possession by possession to figure that out? No, the Jazz was the team we didn't talk about. Not that we did the Clippers nearly as much this year as we did last, right? Mm-hmm. It was just hey, let's wait till the playoffs. And then the poison pens all came out when they fell down 2-0 to Dallas. And then it was, wow, this is kind of crazy. And then what happened at the end of the series was, well, Luka didn't have anybody. It wasn't any celebration of what the Clippers brought to bear at all. It was just, well, it was Luka and a bunch of guys. And then immediately the fan blog started saying, hey, give some support to Kristaps Porzingis. He needs your help. He does, and he needs to change his game. But for the Jazz, I think it's just been such an easy season for them, right? 52-20, dominant at home, home court advantage, and the first round, as much as I love, you know, John Morant, you know, they played that first game without Donovan Mitchell, and then what happened? Got rolling. And we're so worried about all the other stories, coaching carousels and intrigue and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and all this. These guys quietly just go to work. And Mitchell is the catalyst and had a massive first half, which is the complete opposite of game one, right? Where he was quiet and was like, well, what's going on? Did the Clippers finally, you know, is their defense ready to slow him down? And then he had the monster second half to lead to the victory. Instead, gets out of the gate, and the only thing you had down the stretch was he knocked knees with Paul George immediately. He was like, oh, that was a dirty play because of the way he rolled to the ground. It's like, no, they knocked knees. Go check the tape. It's okay. Go to the VAR. Everybody's going to be fine. But I think people are starting to realize this is going to be a very difficult out because of the contributions of the rest of the squad.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Now, we'll have more on the Clippers Jazz coming up in a bit, but earlier tonight, it wasn't quite a thriller, not nearly as many points. And in fact, it was, you know, it was one of those games. It was weird because the stars played well and nobody else did. I mean, that's really what it was. You know, the two best players on each team played well. Nobody else did. You had a big night from Giannis and Chris Middleton. You know, clearly they were great. Middleton had 35 and 15, and Giannis was 33 and 14. Everybody else stunk. For the Nets, you had Kevin Durant had 30. All right, Kyrie Irving had 22 and 5, and you had 16 from Bruce Brown. Yeah. Everybody else stunk. I mean it. Everybody else stunk.
16 and 11 from Bruce Brown, man. Well, I mean, look at the bench scoring. 6 for the Bucks. Portis and Connaughton had 6. And yeah. Then Claxton, James, and Shamet combined for 7 points.
7, yeah. I mean, look, it was not a great game by any means, but the stars played well.
And Harris was awful. You can normally bank on him at least having some value for you offensively. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, but Bruce Brown, man, Bruce Brown.
Yeah, he picked up.
And the whole thing coming off of this game, the final seconds, look, the Bucks had the lead, and the last 3 shots for the Nets was Bruce Brown, who, again, had a big game, as I said, 16 and 11,
shot. Yeah.
Had a wide-open 15-footer, and he missed. The Bucks went down and got a bucket, so now they were up by 1. Kyrie Irving goes in for a layup. He misses. Bucks get the rebound. They hit free throws. And then Kevin Durant misses a last-second three that would have tied the game. And it was a good look from being that far away, and he just missed. So that's how the Bucks wind up winning the game. Bruce Brown misses a 15-footer. Kyrie misses a layup. And then Kevin Durant misses a three. Those are the last three plays for the Nets. And everything after this game was just, oh, Kevin Durant didn't take those shots. Oh, Wait, timeout. Hang on a second. This wasn't the Clippers where Kawhi Leonard didn't want to shoot, neither did Paul George, so we're going to give it to Marcus Morris because, you know, hey, let's let him shoot from three. This was not the scaredy cat Clippers. This was, hey, Bruce Brown was having a big night. He had a 15-footer. He was wide open. All right, and he missed. The next shot, it's not like Bruce Brown took the last three shots. The next shot was a driving layup by Kyrie Irving, and he missed. But no one's paying attention to that because, oh, how does Bruce Brown shoot that shot? And then KD gets the ball. He takes the three at the end, and he misses. These are looks that the Nets wanted. All right. Not every end of game when a star doesn't hit a shot is created equally. All right. It's one thing to be out and out afraid of shooting, which is Paul George. It's and Kawhi Leonard getting hesitant. It's quite another thing to say, okay, well, this guy is wide open from 15 feet and he had a good game. And then the next two shots were Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Okay. All right, this is not on Kyrie. Look, I'll tell you, the criticism I've had for Kyrie Irving and KD, this is not on either of them. You know, you had a guy take a shot who was wide open from 15 feet. Okay, you got to think an NBA player is going to make that shot. He didn't. But then the last two, there was no mistaking who was going to take it. Kyrie and KD. All right, it happened. The Nets lost a game. Hey, this is not suddenly, hey, the doom and gloom of the Nets that, oh, they can't win. And look at how do they not get a shot? And KD is this and Kyrie is this. No. Sometimes you just don't hit shots. If Kyrie Irving makes that layup, we're not talking about this. Right? But Kyrie missed. But we're not talking about Kyrie missing. We're not talking about KD missing his three. Oh, it's Bruce Brown did this. And why did these guys... Not all end-of-game situations are created equally. Everybody wants bloodlust after a game is over and a star doesn't hit a big shot. It's, you're a coward, you're afraid, you're this. No, that's not what this is. This was the end of the Clippers game a couple nights ago when nobody wanted to shoot. That's not the end of the Bucks and the Nets.
No, they each took shots. As you said, Brown had been on fire. And you're going to write the smart basketball play. You can't argue in any way, shape, or form with Rudy Gobert hanging out over by Morris. There was any chance with that wingspan that was the smart basketball play. So completely different circumstances regardless of the time left on the clock. And Kawhi still almost got the shot to fall. And just to remind folks, the Bucks are a pretty damn good team. And we expected a better effort at home. And the stars came to play. So, yeah, I was entertained. Put that in the proper column of, this was a good one.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next, we're going to go live out to Salt Lake City for the latest on this big win by the Jazz and the Clippers loss with one of our favorite NBA analysts who's got it all for us right here. That's next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Clippers fall to the Jazz, a huge night for Donovan Mitchell. Not so much for the Clippers. They are down 0-2 to the Jazz. And joining us now on the hotline, longtime friend of the show, former Hoops player at Stanford, a few NBA European teams. Now, NBA college hoops analyst for Fox Sports 1, Pac-12 Net, Spectrum Sports Net. He does it all. Joining us from Salt Lake City, Casey Jacobson, who actually had three threes in the fourth quarter for the Clippers tonight. Casey, congrats. You know, you almost brought him back. It was close, but, Utah was just too tough.
Jason and Mike, good evening, fellas. I'm still sitting in traffic on our way out of the Vivint Center. I did my best. But look, man, the Jazz are one of the hottest teams in the entire country right now, and so my efforts weren't good enough. But, dude, so, guys, my ears are still ringing right now. I am not in shape for this, okay? I've only been to like two NBA games in person in like the last 2.5 years, and that place was rocking. It was awesome.
So what do you take away from this? Is this series been the Jazz or a bad matchup for the Clippers, or is this something the Clippers can fix over the course of the next couple of games?
Well, look, I don't think it's going to be a Jazz sweep. You know, the Clippers were down 0-2 to the Mavs, but I'll tell you one thing. This Jazz team is not the Mavericks. They are way more complete. Okay, they don't have Luka Doncic, but they got Donovan Mitchell and a bunch of other parts. Rudy Gobert is not a great offensive center, but watching him in person, guys, he got presented with the Defensive Player of the Year award, by the way, before the game. The crowd was just loving on him. His third Defensive Player of the Year award in the last 4 years. That's a remarkable achievement. But there were a couple of moments where I'm in my seat and I'm just watching Rudy Gobert patrol the paint. He'll take on Kawhi Leonard and stop him. He'll take on Paul George and stop him. He is so good at guarding two and sometimes three guys at one time and making players pass out. There are very, very few big men, if any, that can do that to a Clipper team that loves to live in the paint. He was awesome.
Rudy the Giant killing guys down in the low post. No question about it, Casey, with that wingspan. We watched a drought once again, right? Clippers battle back into the game and then go a few minutes without made shot in the fourth quarter. Defense for the Jazz rises up, as you say, Gobert at the front of it. But you look at the contribution. It's a six-man squad right now.
Yeah, you mean for the Clippers?
Well, I think on both sides, right? The benches are just out the window. We're going short.
Yeah, I love it, man. Let's tighten up this rotation. I'm good. I don't need to see Rajon Rondo in this series. You know what? It was interesting. The Clippers did play Patrick Beverley quite a bit today because he was disruptive on defense. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell was doing everything he wanted against Paul George, especially in that first quarter. He was off to an amazing start. They put Patrick Beverley to try and stop the bleeding, and he did a good job. But then Patrick Beverley goes 0-for-5 on the offensive end. So that's the give and take. That's what, you know, Tyronn Lue has to decide. There was one turning point, though, that I noticed in the third quarter, and I don't know if you could tell it on TV, but the Clippers went to a 2-3 zone in that third quarter. It was right after Kawhi Leonard got his fourth foul. He got his fourth foul with, like, maybe, I don't know, 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. And instead of taking Kawhi off the floor, they kept him in. They go 2-3 zone. And Donovan Mitchell became a spectator and a passer. It really worked. And that allowed the Clippers to get back into it. But, yes, towards the end of the game, I think the Clippers kind of ran out of juice, especially Paul George. And the Jazz, let's be honest, the Jazz are here. They're the number one seed for a reason because they're the best three-point shooting team maybe in the NBA. I think statistically they were. And tonight they overwhelmed the Clippers. When you combine that three-point shooting, and Jordan Clarkson, by the way, was incredible, you combine that three-point shooting with a really good defense and a rim protector and Rudy Gobert, I'm not ready to crown the Utah Jazz as NBA champs, okay, but they are really, they should be the favorite in the West.
You know, the funny thing is, Casey, is that all playoffs long, right? At the beginning of the playoffs started, we all saw the seedings and said, okay, the Lakers are going to make it to the conference finals, right? They're a lower seed, but they had injury problems. They're going to beat the Suns, right? We like the Clippers, too, right? Look how quiet they are, but they've figured things out. Maybe they're more playoff tested with their roster. We like the Clippers. Or, hey, what about Nikola Jokic? The guy's the MVP. You know, Denver's great. They were 20 games over 500. This is a team you have to watch out for. They're going to be the ones to do it. Oh, what about Portland? Portland has been terrific. Oh, my goodness. They make the big addition of Norman Powell at the deadline. We talked about every team making it to the Western Conference Finals except for the Jazz and the Suns. And now it looks like we're going to get the Jazz and the Suns despite – but nobody else – it's like these teams who finish first say, yeah, they finished. That's great. Regular season, blah, blah, blah. All these other teams are so much better. But we look like we're going to get the Jazz and the Suns.
Yes, we are going to get the Jazz and the Suns. I believe that for sure. But, Jason, you make a good point, though. But it's predictable, is it not? I mean, we're in the media. We know how these storylines get played out. We don't believe teams that, A, are boring. And you could, I guess, make an argument that the Jazz and the Suns are more boring because they have less drama on their team. But the other reason is they just haven't done it. Like, we haven't seen the Jazz win a title, okay? We haven't seen the Suns win a title. And until they do, I think the casual NBA fan is just not ready to say, yep, the Jazz are my team, unless you live in Utah. The Jazz are my team, and I'm predicting them to win the NBA Finals. It just doesn't happen like that. We are a people, and I'm talking about sports. You hear that horn? All the people are still celebrating the Jazz victory. They're almost crashing into each other tonight.
Or are you not driving well? Is that what's happened? Did you try to turn left without turning your signal on? Is that what happened?
Not my fault, Jason. Don't put this on me. It's not my fault. I'm good to go. I'm driving out here like Donovan Mitchell driving the paint, bro.
Nicely done.
Just weaving in and out.
There you go.
but to go back to the point, though, we just as a collective sports society are not ready to say, yeah, I'm riding with the Jazz, or yeah, I'm riding with the Suns, because we've never seen them hoist a trophy before. And until they do, we're going to be like, nope, they can't do it. They won't do it. Maybe, hey, are LeBron and AD coming back? Is there a way that they can get back into this playoff? Because I'll put my money on the Lakers again. That's what we do. It's crazy.
I think part of it, Casey, to extend off that, is just, I mean, the expectations, right? The Suns were a nice story coming out of the bubble, 8-0 and great, and here comes Chris Paul. Because he was the wild card and why they got some attention, I think. But playing where they do, they're not on all the highlight reels. Most of the folks that would be, pounding that footage are asleep. So by the time you wake up, it's into the next news cycle and more LeBron highlights or drama, etc. So I think some of it is also we just haven't seen them with expectations, let alone winning it all. So it's more... I always call it with Jason the hate-watching part of it. You know, the Clippers, all the expectations of Lob City and last year. And it's like, oh, here they go again, and now they're down 2-0. The poison pens are going to be out again.
Yeah, amen to that. I mean, we deal with some of that in the college level, right? Teams or, fans don't want to think that Gonzaga can win because they play in the weaker WCC, and they none of the East Coast fans even watch them play unless they're playing in those Maui Invitational on national TV. It's just one of those things. So, hey, look, I was a former Sun. I was drafted by the Phoenix Suns in 2002. I played three seasons there. And that program or that organization has been irrelevant for over a decade. And I couldn't be more happy for that team, that organization, and that fan base. They have a real team. And if Chris Paul can stay healthy, you can easily make an argument that the Suns are the deepest roster in the NBA. Now, what does deep get you? That's a different argument. I don't know. Because I think the Brooklyn Nets are a better or a more formidable team and certainly have more expectations than the Suns. But the Suns have the deepest roster, and they, too, like the Jazz, love to shoot the three, to create shots for one another and play beautiful basketball. I love it.
All right, Casey. So, lastly, before we let you go here, obviously, the other game tonight, we watched the Nets win. We watched the Bucks get back into the series with a win.
Your kind Bucks, Jason.
Yeah, my Bucks, right? Because I picked the Bucks to go to the finals, and if they lost tonight, I said I would not have picked the Bucks to go to the finals. Are we looking at the Nets just rolling through the playoffs here? And hey, look, they had a hiccup tonight, but all right, it happens. Yeah. Are we looking at the Nets just rolling into the NBA Finals?
Yes. And I know a lot of people have been fighting that for this regular season because, again, unlike the Utah Jazz, the Nets were nothing but drama, right? And just hard to like and hard to wrap your arms around the Nets. Maybe with a first-year head coach and Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni at his side, those guys never won a championship in their playing and coaching careers respectively. But, look, I know what my eyeballs tell me, and I thought tonight – The Bucks toughed out a victory, but it wasn't like I was watching that game thinking, oh, yeah, the Bucks got them right where they want them. No. That's not at all. I think we're going to look back at these playoffs. I do believe the Nets are clearly the best team. I do believe that they are going to win an NBA championship, and that's with or without James Harden. I think we're just going to look back and say, why were we fighting this Nets team? Is it because of the inexperience of Nash and D'Antoni in a finals, or was it because they didn't play enough defense? They played good enough defense, okay? And that's all you need. They played good enough defense situationally. When push comes to shove, they can get stops. And if Blake Griffin can continue to play like their fourth best player and gritty and tough and be a rebounder and a defender, they're the best team. Let's not fight it anymore. Even if you don't like them, they're the best team.
He's on Twitter at Casey Jacobson. That is at Casey Jacobson. Ears still ringing in Salt Lake City after the Utah Jazz victory, and former Phoenix Sun savior. Go take a look at Casey's stats back in the 2002, 2003, 2004 NBA campaigns. CJ, as always, buddy, appreciate your time. Thanks for making the time for us, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you guys. Have a good night.
Safe driving, brother.
Great stuff from Casey. Yeah, I can't hear. How old are you getting? It's like, oh, the arenas are so loud now. You know, because look, his people calling games. You know, Casey's done, you know, calling NBA games, calling college games. The last year, you know, you haven't been traveling to games all that much. You've been doing games from in the studio and or at home, and it's worked out. Now it's like, guys, I haven't been to a game in over a year, and oh my goodness, it's so loud. The game is too loud for me. I can't go to the games anymore.
That is one of the fights happening in Major League Baseball right now, where you've got a lot of folks still doing it remotely. It's like, come on, the fans are coming back. You need to be back in the booth too. I need to be able to turn after a bad play and shake my fist and have you nod going, oh, I know. So, yeah, you have that going. But think about it, those first games getting back. I just remember the game I took my girls to when we went and watched the White Sox Angels. It was a walk-off home run. There were only about 6,500 to 7,000 people down in Anaheim. You would have thought it was 35 the way people let out some of that emotion that had been pushed in for a year. I grunted, may have cursed to myself as we walked out of the stadium. But a fun time to be had. Great to have Casey back in.
But wasn't that great? You're able to go to a game and stretch out in the seats, and you know, it's the Angels. You're able to say you walk right into the stadium and sit down wherever you want. You have to wait through long lines. Just got to get food delivered to your seat. How great was that?
No, I tell you what, I look forward to getting back. Schedule is not permitted. A lot of soccer tournaments and all of that fun stuff. But the seats we had, we were right down by the field. Oh, that was so good.
Nice.
And the kids trying to, you know, cajole the players to throw them a ball. They were getting in our way. Like, we're cool. It's like, you know, hey, it's pregame, have fun. But the ushers immediately, no, this is not your space. I'm like, and Maddie looks, she's like, you didn't yell at him, did you? I'm like, no, I didn't call them over. I didn't signal, hey, get this guy out of here. I'm sitting here watching guys play a little long toss and hanging out before the game starts, watching Ohtani warm up, all of these things. I'm not yelling at the kids. I left them alone, but they were being diligent. They were taking care of their protocols. It's good to have everybody back next week. 100%. Let's go.
It's too loud. I want you to throw the following people out of my section right now.
I do have SpongeBob earplugs that I carry with me for when events may exceed a decibel. That's a metal concert in a small venue.
All right, now let me throw this at you here, because clearly I can't go to Phoenix anymore because of my Donovan Mitchell greater than Devin Booker conversation.
Yeah, it's a final.
And the closest thing to Kobe Bryant, right? Are you crazy, Devin Booker? Devin Booker is fantastic, okay? Donovan Mitchell's a better player. All right, and here's all you need. Here's all the evidence I need right now. Devin Booker has played in 8 playoff games. He's been good, right? He had the huge closeout game against the Lakers, which has really pushed his legend up. Now, hey, here he is in the playoffs getting it done. He's averaging 27 points per game in the playoffs. Again, this is his first playoffs season, and he's averaging 27 points per game, right? That's pretty
great.
Good.
Absolutely.
Donovan Mitchell's last 13 games, which encapsulate the last 2-plus series that he's played, okay, going back to last year, all right? So the last 2 playoff series that he's played, which was the series against the Nuggets last year, and then you had the first round now, and now the beginning of this round. Mitchell is averaging 35 points per game just in his last 13 playoff games. Okay, there's a big difference between averaging 35 and averaging 27. And when you're telling me what a guy does, no, this is what a guy does when he's got that Mamba mentality. And it's a different game. Not that Devin Booker doesn't have it, but Donovan Mitchell clearly has that extra gear. He is more playoff tested. They're the same age, and you can't fault Donovan Mitchell for having more playoff success than Devin Booker has. Look, Booker scored 70, right? It's not quite Jadeveon Clowney building on his legend, but Booker's a terrific player. He's a great player. But I'll take Donovan Mitchell over Devin Booker every single day of the week. The good news is we're probably going to get to see Mitchell versus Booker in the Western Conference Finals, and everybody's going to get to see these two guys going up head-to-head against each other, and it's going to be awesome. But, yeah, I'm taking Donovan Mitchell over Devin Booker.
Yeah, and as much as I'd love to disagree with you, there's no logic to it in this particular case. So chalk one up for a good argument for you, Jason Smith. The day off did you
thank
wonders.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate
day off
that.
Did you absolute wonders. Rest, whatever you got, a little walk-in and a little hanging out. I mean, you don't have a point guard that starts. Right, Devin Booker's achieving this year, and it's fantastic to watch, and collision course and all of that, and we'll get the head-to-head and whatever. Devin Booker's got Chris Paul setting up his offense right now. Donovan Mitchell's the guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you got O'Neal, Bogdanovich.
If he doesn't set it up, nobody else does.
Right. You know, Gobert.
Nobody else is doing it.
And ain't Joe Ingles.
No.
And Clarkson's the second unit. And he's fantastic. But you don't have a point guard on the court. So I think by default, you get the W with Donovan Mitchell just by the arrival of Chris/Cliff Paul.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo, greatness.
Yeah, yes. Maybe I just start vacationing in Utah now because they love me for my Donovan Mitchell. They hate me in Phoenix. I'll start vacationing there now. It's what it is. Donovan Mitchell, greater than Devin Booker. I'm sorry. It's true. A huge story the last couple of days that just gains more and more momentum, which is maybe the greatest story we've had in the past couple of months, is that it looks like we're going to get the 12-team college football expansion at some point in the next few years. Big meetings are going to happen in the next couple of weeks in which the 12-team expansion for the playoffs is going to be proposed, likely going to be the top six ranked conference champions and six wild cards. Right? There's every reason in the world to do it. Right. So what we've done tonight in the show, we spent some time looking at the reasons why not to, and none of them have worked out well. None of them have been reasons why to say, hey, we shouldn't have a 12-team expansion. Every reason I've seen so far has been, hey, I just don't like change and get off my lawn. Okay, that's all it's been. And this last reason, you know, we've talked about the three big reasons that people have said it's going to water down the playoffs. I'm sorry, it's not. How are the fans going to travel to three playoff games? I mean, really, that's what we're worried about. And the last one has been that, hey, the regular season won't mean as much. Oh, wow. Really? Let people, you're not going to watch USC Oklahoma week two because six at-large teams are going to get into the playoffs? Really? You're not going to watch? That's normally a big game, but, you know, six more teams get in. Both these teams are going to get in. I'm not going to watch that game. I mean, really? I mean, that's just stupid. That's just stupid to think that people are, all these big early season games, people aren't going to watch. Or during the season, people aren't going to watch number one versus number two. Why? I'm not going to watch that. Why? Well, they're both going to get in the playoff. Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't need to watch it. You're watching big games every week, right? Not every big game in college football is one versus two or five. But you're watching. You're not going to not watch. And if you want to see these games still go on, if you want to see big early season games where Alabama plays Ohio State, you're going to see teams be okay with scheduling them if you're telling them, okay, if you lose this big game, you can potentially still get in the playoff if that's the only game you lose, or you can still lose one more. As of that, no one's going to schedule these games anymore, because why would they schedule a game they could possibly lose when that could be the game that keeps them out of the playoff? So if you want to see it, this is the way forward on it.
No, well, I mean, you'll still see the big games because you want to test yourself, and teams that are on the fringe, you know, the conferences that feel like there's still the chance they can get left out of that top 12, they're going to be banging on the door, and they'll be giving up, you know, a lot of, normally it's, hey, we pay you to come in, you know, it'll be a different gate receipt kind of situation, and you want that national recognition that you played, even if you go and get thumped, you're still on the radar. So I think you still have those games. If nothing else, they become that much more pivotal, and maybe not necessarily a mulligan, but you get some credit in the final analysis for playing it because obviously you're also battle tested down the road. So it's, just take care of your business.
Yes, and it's always about your resume, right? When you're picking the six wild card teams, it's about your resume. You're going to still play these games. You think, okay, this is going to help us. I mean, they're not adding 50 teams. This is not the NCAA tournament suddenly. I don't see any. There have been no
Syracuse
argument.
Is not getting into the party.
Boeheim is very upset the football team didn't get in. We were 1-10. Boeheim is
well,
really
you know
pissed.
What? If he took over as interim coach, you might get that at-large bid.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You're a smart dude, man.
See?
Boeheim coaching the football
bubble team with Boeheim.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next. Cues, yo.